It appears that President Trump is inching closer to conceding the election while President-elect Biden continues to move forward, filling positions on his cabinet. Joining us on the KSRO Live Line is Lincoln Mitchell, political analyst and professor from Columbia University. Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. Can you tell us about the announcement from the General Services Administration yesterday and what it means?
Well, what this means, basically this means that they are releasing funds and that the official transition can begin. Now, the transition has already begun. Biden has been meeting with people about the coronavirus pandemic. He has been exploring who to put in his cabinet and other jobs, and he's begun to fill some of those jobs. But a transition requires resources. You'd like to have office space that the government by law is supposed to pay for, just for example, other things like that. Also, when a nomination is made, so for example, Janet Yellen for Treasury Secretary, the background checks have to begin, right, on that person for the confirmation hearing. So this allows that to begin. So it just kind of formalizes the process that was already happening. It's not a concession by Donald Trump. There's no law about concessions, right? So the president, in this case, the defeated president, doesn't have to concede. That's just a formality, which, you know, he probably won't do because that's not really the kind of person he is. But that has no bearing on what happens going forward.
But those funds now are released to the Biden team.
Exactly, to the transition team.
Okay. And can you tell us a little bit about how President Trump reacted to this announcement by the General Services Administration?
Well, I mean, Trump is kind of inching towards, I don't want to say conceding, but towards accepting, right? The walls are kind of the walls are closing in around him. And I think he just saw that and treated that as part of this. We didn't get the Trump tantrum that one might have expected. And then, Murphy said that, you know, I was not pressured by the Trump presidents, by anyone in the White House, not to do this, which to me seems unimaginable, right? That a mid-level experienced bureaucrat wouldn't just do the kind of, this is a pro forma thing. It's never been a controversy before, right? I mean, you've never heard of this before because no one ever raised this question before.
Right.
So clearly there was pressure. She stood up to it for a while, and then she just had to do this. It's worth noting here that she would have been very foolish for her to continue to not release the funds because Biden was going to become president and then she was going to get fired, right? If she hadn't done this. Now she has a fighting chance of keeping her job, which she may not want anyway, but it really speaks to the extent to which people around Trump live in the fantasy world he has created.
And speaking of the election and the challenges that Trump's team is putting towards election results, can you tell us how things are going in that direction with recounts and election certification?
Well, Georgia had its recount, or it was audit, as they called it, and found that, you know, Trump picked up a few votes, but you're never going to pick up enough votes to flip a state that you lose by 10, 12, 15,000 votes. Michigan and Pennsylvania have certified with a fair amount of controversy in Michigan, where basically Republicans in Wayne County and then statewide didn't want to accept it because Trump lost. There was no real legal battle there, right? It was we heard there were a lot of bad things in Detroit, you know, that kind of thing. On the legal front, I mean, his legal strategy has been, I'm going to say this nicely, but it's been a joke. And, you know, I remember when all this began, you know, the Wednesday, Thursday after the election, talking to, you know, a high-powered attorney here in New York who has, you know, ties to Washington and all of that. And I asked her, I said, if you were doing this, wouldn't you hire a real attorney? And, of course, Trump didn't hire a real attorney. He hired Rudy Giuliani, who has devolved into this kind of clownish caricature of I don't know what. So there was no real legal strategy. I mean, we keep these cases get not just thrown out of court, but kind of laughed out of court. Like they don't, there's no argument. The argument in Pennsylvania was because some counties allowed voters who maybe had some technical problem with their ballot, they could cure it. So you forgot to sign the inside of the ballot. For example, somebody would call you, can you come to the Board of Elections and do that? And some didn't. So the argument in Pennsylvania was that therefore all of the ballots in the counties that allowed that, which happened to be Philadelphia, should be thrown out. There's no precedent in the law for that kind of thing, in election law, that because essentially one county has a slightly different policy, the better policy gets all the ballots thrown out. That was the argument. And just as I'm explaining it to you, it doesn't make sense. Right.
Let's move on as the election sort of results are inevitable and are moving forward. Biden is moving forward with his cabinet picks. Tell us a little bit about the choice of John Kerry.
I thought John Kerry was an intriguing choice, right? On the one hand, you know, climate change is a hugely important issue. And it is a hugely important issue for the United States in the kind with regards to the rest of the world. Our relationships with the rest of the world have much more to do with climate change, both a strategy for combating climate change going forward, but also for reacting to and responding to the problems created by climate change today, tomorrow, next year, throughout the Biden presidency, which will include everything from, you know, natural disasters to refugees and everything you can imagine, and all kinds of things, economic disruption. Now, Kerry does not come out of the kind of more left-of-center environmentalist activist wing of the party. He's not like a Green New Deal guy. So on the one hand, one might say, you know, it's not the great pick for that job. On the other hand, he is a very high-level person. He's a former U.S. Secretary of State.
Right.
Right. And he is, you know, connected around the world. He served that. He was a good Secretary of State for 4 years. He left when people thought he'd done a good job and it was honorable. The appointment of John Kerry, in my view, is a statement by Biden that we are going to take this seriously as a global problem. It is a very high-level, high-status appointment in that regard. It is not a statement that we're going to propose radical solutions, but it is a statement that we're going to work with other countries, with somebody who other countries, a person at the lead who other leaders of other countries already know.
Right.
And that is consistent with everything about Biden's foreign policy, whether it's on the environment or, you know, trade or anything else.
Let's talk a little bit. We don't have much more time, but I do want to ask about the appointment of Janet Yellen.
Yes. This was a good choice. I think that a lot of progressives in the Democratic Party, myself included, did not want another Wall Street person holding that job. I remember when Obama got elected in 2008, and in 2009 he put in, you know, as his first Treasury Secretary, Tim Geithner, who came out of Wall Street. And a lot of people felt that was a real blow to kind of progressive ambition. Janet Yellen is not perhaps the radical that many on the left would have liked, but you weren't going to get that person. The notion that, you know, Elizabeth Warren was going to get this job was never going to happen because Massachusetts had the Republican governor. So it is a real statement by Joe Biden that he's not going to run an economic policy that's driven by Wall Street. And if that's true, he'd be the first Democrat since probably Carter to do that. So I think that's a very significant appointment of Janet Yellen.
Well, we appreciate your time. Thank you so much for talking with us this morning.
My pleasure. Take care.
That is Lincoln Mitchell, political analyst and professor from Columbia University.